Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with a juicy Week 6 matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Donnie Football in for the guys on this Monday post-bye week. The Steelers are 3-1, but we are talking college football. Right now, a massive upset loss for Penn State over the weekend against UCLA. Pitt winning big against Boston College. We will get to that next hour. Intern Jack is here. He's behind the glass. He has no classes on Mondays. Gorgeous Charlie Borges back there as well. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. For over 50 years, we go back out to that fan hotline, and that is where we find Joe Smeltzer, who covers Penn State for Nittany Sports Now. Joe, is this, without question, the worst loss of the James Franklin era?
Yes, it is, Donnie, and thank you for having me on. There was competition for this dubious title, right? Before Saturday, most people probably would have said the 9 overtime loss to Illinois for the sure embarrassment of that fiasco a few years ago, maybe the Ohio State games in 2017 and 2018 because of what winning those games would have meant for that program, and Penn State choked both away. But it's hard to get much worse than a team that went into this season as a national championship favorite, brought just about everybody that could bring back, brought them back, paid a lot to bring him back, added to the coaching staff with a big fish in Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator. For that team to lose to an 0-4 operation that was so – I said it to Jason Mackey on the Fan tonight before the game. I said UCLA was worse than their 0-4 record showed, and I stand by that statement because look at the first four games. But somehow a team with no head coach, no real coordinators, outclassed James Franklin, Jim Knowles, and Andy Kotelnicki, and – Yeah, this is rock bottom. It might sound spoiled to say that, right, because there's a lot of programs that are generally worse off than Penn State, and Penn State still is ranked in one of the polls, 22nd, I think, in the coaches' poll. But as far as where the expectations were at the beginning of this season, and even by comparison, the feeling after the Oregon game, this is you have to say this is rock bottom for Penn State because you just don't go into a season with this level and expectations and lose a game like that.
Who deserves the most blame, and how is the blame being divvied up 2 days after the game?
Yeah, the most blame is obviously James Franklin for reasons I'm not going to get into because everybody knows him, right? He's the head coach, and as Franklin would be the first to admit, he's responsible for everything. But I would like to talk about talking specifically about Saturday's game, I wrote a column that ran this morning for Nittany Sports Now, bashing Jim Knowles. My title of the column was "Maybe You Do Mess Around with Jim," as a play on the classic Jim Croce song. But yeah, I think aside from Franklin, Jim Knowles is the biggest goat from Saturday's game. You play, you have a defense that had been playing very well up to this point, even played very well against Oregon, just ran out of gas at the end, and you're going against, as I mentioned earlier, a guy who had never called plays in his life at the college football level. He's going up against Knowles, who is the highest paid assistant in the history of college football. And somehow UCLA scores 42 points. Somehow Penn State doesn't think to put a spy on Nico Iamaleava until the fourth quarter. And, I think that's where the most blame, aside from the very top, should be directed to. As far as how the blame is divvied up, it seems still that people are focused more on Andy Kotelnicki than Jim Knowles. I think that was evident in Franklin's press conference today when somebody asked Franklin to evaluate Andy Kotelnicki pretty early in the press conference, and nobody asked about the defense until later on. And even then, that question about the defense wasn't directly asking Franklin to evaluate the job Jim Knowles has done. But I think Knowles has nothing to prove as a defensive coordinator. He's won a national championship. He's done well at Duke, where it's hard to get players. He's done well in the Big 12, where it's hard to play defense. But for Saturday specifically, Jim Knowles blew it big time. And you score 37 points against UCLA, you're supposed to win. And somehow they did that and then beat them.
What would it take for Penn State to part ways with James Franklin? I know the buyout is crazy, but there has to be something, some sort of bottom that it could hit here where people just say, you know what, we're going to find whatever money we can and get rid of him.
I don't think that's going to happen, Donnie. I think the most realistic scenario that would have James Franklin not running Penn State's football program in 2020, for Penn State to somehow convince James Franklin that it's in his best interest to move on, right? The reasons why Penn State would fire him is obvious, is because this was what many saw as a Natty or bust season. And so far, it's been a big-time bust. But as you mentioned, the buyout would be the thing keeping that from happening. So I think what you're looking for here for realistic scenarios for James Franklin to go would be kind of a John Calipari situation at Kentucky, right? Calipari won a lot of Kentucky, won a championship at Kentucky. But at the end of the day, the time was right for both parties to move on, and that's what happened. Calipari got a big deal at Arkansas and did well there in his first year, and Kentucky got a pretty good coach in Mark Pope, and now it looks like they're going to be all right too. So, I don't see a scenario where James Franklin gets the axe. I think the two options are Franklin's back in 2026 or Franklin is coaching somewhere else under his own will to an extent. And if James Franklin were to leave Penn State, he would be the hottest free agent coach on the market. There's no doubt about that. So, but as far as Penn State firing Franklin, I just don't see a way that happens because of what the buyout is. Jimbo Fisher has the highest buyout ever at Texas A&M, $75 million, I think it was. Next to that, Franklin's would be the highest ever by a good $35, $36 million. So, I think somehow if Penn State wants James Franklin to go, they got to tell him, like, hey, next year's team is probably going to be worse. We're losing a lot of talent. Things might be rough the next 2 years. Maybe it's best for you. Maybe it's best for us if we're going to move on because we think you've done about all you can do at Penn State.
Talking to Joe Smelter, he covers Penn State for Nittany Sports Now here on 93.7 The Fan. Joe, one of the only things plummeting about as fast as Penn State out of the top 25 is the Drew Aller draft stock. I know that he's not the guy that deserves the most blame for the game on Saturday, but
no.
It's pretty unfortunate for him. He's playing himself out of being a first-round pick very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd really go that far, to be honest, because what have the other class of 2026 quarterbacks done? Arch Manning hasn't delivered. Garrett Nussemeyer hasn't delivered. Cade Klubnik hasn't. So I think I would still predict Drew Aller to be a first-round pick, A, because of the upside, B, because you almost got to do it by default, because who else has really done anything to jump Drew Aller on that draft board? But the criticisms with Drew Aller are fair, and they are obvious. He hasn't been at his best when the lights have shined the brightest, and his mentality, I think, has been an issue. I don't know if he has the right mentality to lead a team like Penn State to a national championship, and that's something that NFL teams are going to call into question. So as far as Saturday's games go, Drew Aller played very well. He wasn't awesome, but he was very solid, I would say. B-plus, maybe A-minus work, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Completed, I think, 19 of 26 and also got 76 yards rushing. But, nothing he could have done, even if Penn State had romped UCLA, would have silenced the doubts that people have about Drew Aller. And that's that, he hasn't done well when Penn State's played in big games. But at this point, maybe one of the silver linings to losing to UCLA is that Penn State doesn't have the national championship pressure really anymore. And Drew Aller has been at his best when there's been less pressure. So maybe this allows him to play free and loose, and maybe good things will happen as a result. But yeah, the criticisms with Drew Aller are fair and they are obvious. And really, they've been persistent since 2023 when he became a first-year starter. And that shows that the growth that you need over 3 years just hasn't really been there with him.
Yeah, Joe, what percentage do you think they have of making the playoff? They have to win out after this loss at minimum. That includes a win in Columbus on November 1st, and they would have to also beat Indiana the very next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Zero. I don't see any way it happens, you know, and I'm not laughing off your question. It's a fair question, but I would have said this after the Oregon game too. You know, how is there any belief that Penn State can go into Columbus and beat Ohio State? You know, you've had great teams play Ohio State before, and for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to deliver. Now, 2 days after they lost to UCLA, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to beat Ohio State or even Indiana with how they've been looking. I will say this, though, is that, you know, talking about Ohio State games specifically, the two best showings they have had against Ohio State since I've been on the beat are 2021, when it was a team that went 7-6 and had just lost to Illinois in that 9 overtime game the week before. And then the next year, 2022, when they were steamrolled by Michigan, I think 2 weeks before that, and they came in as 3 touchdown underdogs in Happy Valley. So I do expect Penn State to be able to compete in that game. As I mentioned earlier, they're going to be playing more loose now, and maybe that'll open some possibilities. But yeah, I don't see any way Penn State wins out, especially with how good Ohio State has been defensively and even offensively too. Even though Emeka Egbigbu is no longer there, Jeremiah Smith is the best receiver in college football, and Penn State's going to have to find a way to answer for him. So yeah, I'm going to be blunt and just say 0%, because I'm not going to say that they're going to win a game in Columbus, and now we're at the point where that is absolutely necessary for them to make the college football playoff.
In case anybody missed that quick little reference there by Joe, that wasn't him purposefully mispronouncing Emeka Egbuka's name. That was how Rob Gronkowski said it yesterday on a Fox Sports postgame show. Joe, what was up with the final call? Andy Kotelnicki gets a lot of credit for his creativity to go with a read option there with Drew Aller. How did you feel about that being the play with the game on the line?
It was a bad idea. The bigger picture, Donnie, with that is that Catron Allen wasn't on the field. And this is something I talked about. I wrote about it on Indy Sports Now before the UCLA game. I talked about it with Jason Mackey on Friday night before the game, is that Catron Allen has been not only Penn State's best running back, I think he's been Penn State's best offensive player by a wide margin. And for whatever reason, they're still treating him like the number two back, or at best the 1B back to Nick Singleton. Singleton got 11 carries to Allen's 8 for Penn State, and that's really been a recurrent theme throughout the season. Even though Catron Allen has put up not only better numbers, he's put up way better numbers than Nick Singleton has. So the fact that Allen wasn't on the field, that's a huge problem. The fact that they were calling a read option when, you know, a short yardage situation, you have a great running back, you have an offensive line that should be great but isn't playing like it right now. And to really illustrate how good Catron Allen has been and how poorly Penn State has used him, He has 9 fewer carries than Nicholas Singleton does this year and 138 more yards. He's averaging 7 yards per carry to Singleton's 3.8. He has more touchdowns than Singleton. Like, any conceivable way, he's been better. And Penn State just doesn't understand it yet. And when James Franklin was asked about Allen's usage, he said that before the UCLA game, they talked about getting him more involved. And it's like, it reminded me of like the Tim Robinson sketch, like the guy in the hot dog suit. Like, we're all looking for the guy that did this. Well, you're the head coach. Nothing is stopping you from getting this guy involved. And they're just finding a way to bungle absolute common sense. So, yeah, yes, about the 4-2 call, calling a read option in that situation. That's just being too cute and overthinking it, which has been an Achilles heel for Andy Kudelnicki. But the bigger picture there is that Penn State's best player was not on the field for the bigger play. For the biggest play of the game, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with him health-wise.
Joe, one more for you, and I'm asking you to dig deep a little bit here, but I know that you have an extensive sports mind. You can be a bit of a historian at times, and you have followed Penn State football and have been a fan of Penn State football for your entire life. All-time Penn State losses, where do you feel the UCLA one falls in?
Yeah, that's tough. I think for Franklin, it's number one, right? So you have to go back. The only one I can think of off the top of my head that would compare to it would have been a game that my parents were at in 1999 when they played a pretty mediocre Minnesota team. They were number 2 in the country and ended up losing on a walk-off field goal. And that sent Penn State spiraling. They lost to Tom Brady in Michigan the next week and then lost to Nick Saban coach Michigan State team then that season. So right now, Minnesota 99 is the only one that really compares, because that was a 1999 team that was a lot like this year's team as far as preseason goes. They had everybody coming back. They had LeVar Arrington, superstar, coming back at linebacker. And they had started the year 8-0. And then in that Minnesota game, for some reason, it just didn't work out. And that was a loss that long-term, and it's going to be hard to judge this UCLA loss before we see what Penn State football becomes over the next few years. But after that 99 season, Penn State had 4 losing seasons in 5 years, which had never had. I think that's an unprecedented feat in Happy Valley. That had never happened before. Certainly hadn't happened under Joe Paterno. But, yeah, that's the one that compares. But you got to think that at best, UCLA right now is in the top 5 for worst losses in Penn State history, because that is just an absolute pitiful operation they went against them. I guess the best way to sum it up was that UCLA had not led for a second in the first 4 games, yep, and they led the entire 60 minutes against Penn State. So,
Joe Smeltzer, if you're a Penn State fan, check out his stuff. He covers the Nittany Lions for Nittany Sports Now. Joe, thanks for hopping on, buddy.
Yep, thanks for having me.
There we go. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now breaking down a monumental and embarrassing and perhaps an all-time Penn State loss on Saturday against UCLA. We're going to dive into some hockey coming up next. Charlie Borges is back there. I know he's pumped for this. Every time we work together, I like to let Charlie get going about the National Hockey League or anything else going on in the hockey world. So the season begins tomorrow. The Penguins open up against the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden at 8 p.m. against their former head coach, Mike Sullivan. So a lot of storylines going into that one. What will the Penguins look like in the 25-26 season? We'll get into some of those predictions and NHL predictions on top of that. Rickard Rakell, Penguins winger, he joins the show in about 45 minutes. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Right now it's time for an Intern Jack fan headline.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.